From WHIV-LP in New Orleans, this is PFLAG New Orleans Expanding the Rainbow. I'm your host, Sally Michelle Jackson, along with Josh, a.k.a. Adonis. WHIV is radio programming dedicated to human rights and social justice. Check us out online at WHIVFM.org and be sure to like us on Facebook, End All Wars. This is our opportunity to reach out to the LGBT community and beyond with information that is pertinent to the LGBT community and its allies. The program adheres to PFLAG's mission. Today's program, as always, is brought to you by the letters P, F, L, A, and G, and the number 2, because it takes at least 2 people to have a conversation. And today we have 2 guests, and we're going to cover this. This is an interesting subject. So we have Carrie
Riffle.
Okay, I want to make sure I got it right. Carrie Riffle, who is the owner and director of Camp. Okay. And our other guest is Steve Biedenbaugh. Yes. I got close. And Steve has been a camper for a number of years, and now he's a camper / staff member at Camp. So what we're going to be talking about here is we're going to let Carrie explain exactly what it is. But Camp is a wonderful idea. It's a camp for LGBT adults.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, there are a lot of camps out there for LGBT teens or kids, but we're actually a summer camp for LGBT adults. We've been around, this coming August will be our 21st summer, so we've been around since 1997. But we're structured just like a sleepaway camp for kids, except we're ages 21 and over, LGBTQ. We're slowly adding the Q in there. Yeah. But camp has been around for about, 21, this will be our 21st summer, and it's just a sleepaway camp for adults. So anything you might have done at sleepaway camp for kids, you would do at Camp. We have pottery, stained glass, mountain biking, hiking, swimming. And then we have a social event every night, like a barn dance and a talent show. And so we get about 250 people from all over the country who come to southwestern Maine, where our facility is located. And, people come. It's been a great community of folks from across the country and actually around the globe now. We've been getting people from the UK and Canada and other countries, so.
All right. Now, the concept for this, now you're not the original owner.
No. Right? No, Camp was started back in 1997 by a gentleman named Bill Cole, who had come out late. He was married. He came out around the age of 49. And his wife sent him off to P-Town to find his gay self, as it were. And he had a miserable time feeling like he didn't belong, that it wasn't a place he could connect with anyone. And he had a camping background, so he decided he would start the summer camp for gays and lesbians. We added the B and the T a few years later. But so he had this idea and started this camp in 1997. And I'm one of 2 people left who have been there all 21 years now. But that first year we had 88 people at camp. Most of the, about 2/3 of those were actually on staff, and the rest were campers. Bill did just whatever he could to get people there. Yeah. And now we tend to get about 240, 250 people every summer, about half of them on staff and half of them campers. And, it's become a great, and we have an 80% return rate as well. So it's been this great community of people who come together. A lot of people say it feels like a family reunion.
Yeah.
But it's a great place to escape. There's limited cell phone service and no internet, and so it's just about hanging out with other LGBT people and playing and having fun. It's a vacation, but it's also this great community.
Right. Now, the whole concept behind it was to start a place for the LGBT community, basically, to get together that wasn't centered around like sex and alcohol.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the things Bill felt when he went to P-Town that first time, was that everything seemed, it was all very cruisy, or it was all centered around bars and whatever else, and he just felt that was a very artificial environment that put a lot of pressure on people to not be their true selves. So camp is very much about just being able to relax and, be yourself in a place that's very accepting without judgment. And
and that seems like a great idea for the people who are trying to find a sense of community,
right,
who don't drink and don't really want to have their sense of community be centered around the gay bar.
Yeah, you know? I mean, it's in our actual mission statement that, you know, a big part of our mission is to create a safe space. And that means, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people in our community that are in recovery. And so we do serve beer and wine during the week at certain mm-hmm. events, but otherwise it's a very safe space for people who are in recovery, where people are very respectful of that. And,
yeah,
you know, we don't allow drugs on site. And, you know, so if you're looking for a vacation that's a party atmosphere 24/7, camp is probably not for you. But mm-hmm.
If you're looking for like a place with a great community and an outdoor center.
Exactly. It, you know, and, you know, great. I'm not a very outdoorsy person, never have been, but, you know, camp is always... continues to be, I took over from Bill back in 2006, I believe it was. So even now that I'm running the camp, it still is one of the highlights of my year, just to be there. And it's such a, you know, welcoming, open environment. And I, you know, it's fun to see the looks on people's faces when they get there and they look a little bit like deer in headlights. Most people do come by themselves, not knowing anyone else. So, but we're very good about making people feel welcome and part of the community very quickly. So,
okay. Well, this sounds like a good time to ask Steve what the camper experience is.
You know, going back to what you were talking about being either a sex camp or too much drinking, my first question to Bill Cole when I found out about camp back in, I want to say it was one of the magazines. I lived in West Hollywood then, and my first question to him was, is this a cult or is this a sex camp? Because I live in West Hollywood. I don't need to fly across country to go
you find
that.
In your backyard.
And he laughed. Yes. And he laughed, and he said, no, it's not. And like Kerry was saying, it's a sex-positive place, but it's not all sex, and it's not all drinking. So it's been a great... I found myself in the middle of Maine my first night, thinking I was insane, that I had just flown across country to a state that I don't know I could have found on the map, and in the middle of the woods, and it was absolutely beautiful, and it was scary, and it was invigorating, and so it was really one of the, I've always said it's one of the best things I've done as an adult, was going to camp, because I've met so many great people, and who become very dear friends of mine.
And when you consider the return rate,
mm-hmm.
you get to keep up with these people.
Oh, yeah. We travel throughout the year, many of us, and different groups, different pockets of people at camp travel together at different times. And Kerry and I and our group from our cabin get together often, and he's staying here with me in New Orleans right now before he's heading off to California. So, and another one of our campers is flying in tonight to travel with him. So he's flying in from San Francisco to stay with us, and he'll move on together. So it has become a great great way to meet a lot of people who become very close friends.
Yeah. That's something I've noticed with a lot of the community stuff that I do. I work a lot with support groups, and you go to the support group, and by the time you're through, you've made like 24 friends, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and then it kind of spreads out, and you meet their friends and everything. It just keeps getting more and more people. Now, if you spend, instead of a couple of hours one evening with the group of maybe 20 people, you don't get to know them that well right away. It takes a while. It would seem like when you're at the camp that you would get to know people rather quickly since you're there 24/7.
Yeah, you know, you spend 24/7 with people for 7 days. You know, campers arrive on Sunday and go home the following Sunday. So it's, you know, it can be an intense experience for people, and you know, some people do get homesick and whatever. But you know, it's an interesting experience, and you live communally because we lease an actual summer camp, so people. Everything is included in the price. All your activities, your lodging, 3 meals a day. And we have a great chef who comes in. So it's restaurant quality meals 3 times a day, plus snacks. And we serve beer and wine at certain of the evening social events. So that's all included. But you do live. It is rustic. It's not the Four Seasons. I mean, they're basic cabins with, you know, bunk beds with foam mattresses. And they all have toilets and hot and cold running water and private shower stalls. But you are living with 6 to 20 other people.
Yeah.
for the week. So it's, you know, which is hard for adults to do sometimes.
And an occasional chipmunk.
And an occasional chipmunk. So there is
that's
there is
the joys of being in the woods.
Exactly.
Right?
So, but you know, to me, and I you know, I've been for whatever reason terminally single, so I'm used to living alone, as I think Steve has been for a long time. So, you know, it's a chance. Well, just you know, it's a chance for to. To
it's
live
not
communally.
Say terminally single.
Well, you
just
know.
Single for a bit.
Single for a bit. But
interminable single. That's me.
But, you know, so it's a, to me, that's part of the fun is, you know, to be able to go back to where I'm sleeping and, you know, Steve has been one of my cabin mates for years and we hang out on the front porch before bed and
yeah.
chat and laugh. And, you know, it's part of the experience and what I think keeps people coming back.
So. Not to mention, once you've stayed with people for a week in a cabin in the woods, you can travel with them anywhere.
Yeah.
Because we've already done the questionable bathrooms and this uncomfortable-ish kind of beds sleeping.
Yeah.
That when you go and stay together, we've rented a house together in January, a group of us from our cabin. And people will ask me, how do 10 of you go and rent a house together? And I'm like, we met each other sleeping in the woods. So to go and rent a house in Palm Springs is super simple.
Yeah. And quite a bit of a step up.
Oh,
exactly. Yeah.
But the idea is for some people that are looking back at this, now a lot of the people in the LGBT community might look back on their summer camp experience as having been a bit of a nightmare.
Right.
Because everything was wrong.
Yes.
You didn't belong. Okay. All of those activities that you enjoyed, a little bit of the activities, but you felt uncomfortable, those activities are there, but you can be comfortable because
right.
you do belong.
Well, we get a lot of people who come who were longtime campers as kids and either had positive or some of them had negative experiences, especially once puberty hit and all those feelings started coming up. And we have people like myself who never really went to camp, but, you know, have learned to love it. And, you know, it is a chance to either try the things that were awkward as a child or something you've always wanted to try. And our staff is very supportive. Your fellow campers are very supportive. And, you know, whether it's, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of shame in the gay community in some ways around athletics and that sort of thing. And there are guys who are afraid to pick up and throw a softball. Well, this is a great place to learn to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I remember, and I've never been very athletic, and I remember one of the early years of camp, I was playing softball, and I actually caught the ball and I threw it, and someone on the sidelines yelled, "Carrie, you throw like a girl." And I said, "That's a compliment around here." So, you know, it's just that sort of thing. And, you know, there are people who, we talk about camping a place where it's comfortable for you to step out of your comfort zone. And for some people, that's just coming on vacation by themselves to vacation with 250 people they don't know. For some people, that's throwing a softball. For some people, that's throwing a pot and, you know, throwing a pot in the pottery studio.
Mm-hmm.
For
learning how to swim.
Learning how to swim, which has been my thing. And, you know, or getting up on stage at the talent show. So people just are very shocked about what they can accomplish in such a place where, first off, they're very free and open to be themselves, you know. And second, that everybody's just encouraging. And whether you throw the softball well or not, people are going to applaud you for trying and tell you to try it again and encourage you to keep going, so.
And one of the great things we have at the beginning of camp is the barn dance. It's not one of my favorite things, but we have callers who have been calling square dancing, I think that's how you say it, for us since the beginning of camp. And, you know, you sort of make everyone, if they want to, dance together. And that really does sort of allow people to kind of get out of their comfort zone, sort of open up to the idea that everyone is there having fun together. And then that sort of, I think, sets the pace for the rest of the week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sounds like a good opener, though. But I, like you said, you were trying to come up with the term because square dance doesn't seem to fit. But, I was just noticing Julie's going to be notifying me in just a minute that it's time for our station break. So I'm going to do it now while we're at a lull. I'll surprise her. You're listening to WHIV-LP in New Orleans. It's 102.3 FM. That's the quick station break. Okay. Talking about, like, all the activities and all, some people might ask, you know, well, I'm not really a camper like you said you weren't, and you kind of like it, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people would look at it and go, like, well, why don't I go on one of the LGBT cruises.
Right.
And that kind of takes you back to the original of it's kind of like going to a floating gay bar. Because I worked on cruise ships. I played trumpet in the band on cruise ships. I took cruise ships to get everywhere I wanted to go. And a whole lot of the stuff is, on a regular cruise ship, is half bingo and half drinking. So, you know, that wasn't what I was going for. So I went to the shore excursions and all. But for people who don't want to go and pay their money to go on a cruise and not drink and not play bingo, you're missing most of the activities.
Right.
But with the camping, I mean, you've got things besides, you know, say, well, I don't really want to learn to swim. You're not going to throw them in the water and make them.
Nope.
You know, you've got other activities they can be doing. It's not just like, okay, on the ship, you don't have that many places you can put a large group of people.
Right.
In the camp, you can split up and do all kinds of different things all at the same time, right?
Yeah, and we divide our day into, you know, four activity periods. One is right before breakfast from 7 to 8:30 in the morning, and that's really just yoga, aerobics, you know, your typical a morning swim across the lake and back. So just some early morning things. And then we have another activity period after breakfast, and then two activity periods between lunch and dinner. And in each of those three later periods, you know, you've probably got at least 15 things you can choose from. So whether, you know, if you're not athletic, that's fine. There's art classes, there's pottery, there's stained glass, there's theater classes. You know, you can, you know, we
ropes
have some
course.
Ropes course. There's offsite hikes. So whatever your comfort zone is, it's there that you can plan your sort of own vacation. But there's also plenty there to step out of your comfort zone. And we do encourage people to try one thing during the week that is outside of their comfort zone.
I personally like an afternoon nap if the weather's nice. And since I've been to camp now for, I think, 15 years, I've done most everything and I enjoy it all, but you'll find me sitting under a tree where it's nice and shady, waiting for friends to come by and tell me what they're doing or sit around and chit-chat. So you're not forced to do anything. So there's a lot of people you'll see. I think one of our campers this year brought a hammock.
No.
And he strapped up a hammock in between a few trees, and you'd find him napping there every now and then.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The way my mind works, though, is when you talked about the morning swim across the lake and back. I live on Pontchartrain, and, you know, that's quite a workout.
Ooh. I made it halfway, and then I got on a boat to come back. I said, thank you very much. I'll get in the boat and go back the other way.
Yeah, you know, it's 7 a.m., and the water is colder. You know, the campus sits right on three interconnected lakes, and it's quite beautiful, and it's secluded, although there are people who have private summer homes across the lake. But the lady whose dock we swim to every morning and back is always out there with her coffee and her robe to wave hello and chat with people.
And her husband.
And her husband, and we invited them over for dinner, and it turns out that they have a gay daughter, and, you know, all this kind of thing. So these things in rural Maine, these little joys and things that we find in rural Maine, but, you know, and there are people who are down there every morning on that morning swim. It's part of their routine for the week, and there's some people who do it once and say, okay, that was enough.
Or half, and that was
enough. Or half, and that was enough, yeah.
I like the idea of all of the different things for the people who aren't necessarily athletic, and you even have quite a bit for people who aren't outdoorsy people, like the doing the plays and all, teaching, you know, a drama class. Okay, you don't want to be outside. We'll teach you how to do plays. You've got pottery. You've got all the arts things. It's really is the summer camp, but for adults. And I love that idea.
Yeah, and then, included in the package is then every evening we plan a different social event. And, you know, like Steve said, the first night we have a barn dance, which is a great mixer for everyone. And we have live fiddlers and callers from New Hampshire who come in. And, you know, it's a great mixer to get people to meet each other. And everybody's smiling and happy. And then we do a talent show at the end of the week. We have another big dance the last night. We've had game show nights and karaoke. And lip sync. We've had big disco parties, and and if you don't like to do those, we show movies at the same time every night. So if the evening event aren't your thing, there's a movie playing down the road at our rec hall, so that, you know, you have an alternative, or you can stay in your bunk and read a book and relax. I mean, it's really a vacation, and you can plan it however, you know, it's your vacation, so people...
And here's the part where it differs from the children's camp. you're free to participate or not in anything you want to.
Yeah, there are a number of things that we highly recommend you do. Like we divide the camp up into what we call rainbow groups, which are little cross sections of the camp that have 12 or 14 people in them, and they meet every morning after breakfast, sort of like homeroom, and it's sort of, you know, a way to get to meet other campers without the pressure of the big 250 people. You're only meeting 12 people at a time. So it's a way to check in for us to get some business things across during the week, and do icebreakers and that sort of thing. So you get to know those friends. And Steve has been one of our Rainbow Group leaders for 5 or 6 years now. Yeah. And so we highly recommend that everyone goes to those meetings. But they're not required. If you don't like to go, you don't want to go, or you want to sleep in one morning, but you don't have to go.
That's a very good idea to go to, because one of the things a lot of people have, and it's exaggerated, I think, in our community, is a fear of talking to people they don't know.
Yes.
It's almost as bad as the fear of public speaking that most people have, but it's the fear of speaking to a stranger. Some of us are very afraid of it. I am not. that came over years of playing trumpet and being very visible. But when you get to that, if you're going to the camp, make sure you go to those meetings with the 14 people, because that is the easy place to start it. You may not want to talk in the first meeting. That's okay. They won't be mad at you.
Right.
Second, third meeting, when you feel like it, talk to them. It's amazing to watch people, because we do that in support groups, and we watch people kind of blossom where they were afraid
to talk. I think we've noticed that a lot over the years, is seeing the sort of change a person makes from day one to day seven has been astonishing in some cases. You'll meet some of the people who are the quietest or think that they somehow don't fit in. One of my campers this past year in my rainbow group didn't think she fit in at all, and we were able to sort of pull out of her why and said, "You're fitting in perfectly here, and I'm watching you participate. At what point do you think you're not fitting in?" And so to watch some of the changes in people from the start of the week to the end of the week has always been sort of amazing.
And I believe she's already signed up to come back again this year. So, you know,
it's because she had a great rainbow group leader.
Of course.
Oh, I see.
We were paid this year.
I was curious about that. Are any of the rainbow group leaders now people that didn't want to talk when they first got there?
Could be. Certainly not Steve. Well, that was never a problem with him.
That wasn't his problem. But I've watched that happen with a lot of people. Once they start talking, they become the leaders.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to think about it, but I think so. You know, a lot of them have been coming to camp for a long time, and, you know, we require that someone has been at camp for 2 years. You know, you have to be on your third year of camp before we even consider you for a rainbow group leader. Right. So there are people who know camp well, who get the culture, who get the experience, get what camp is about. But I'm sure there's someone there who would tell you that, you know, they either almost turned their car around when they got to the drive that first year they came, or who were a little, you know, going, you know, I think Steve had that feeling the first day or two he was there. It was like, what did I get myself into?
And I sort of felt the same as being a rainbow group leader. I was sort of a holdout. I told Carrie and said before, when you need me to be a rainbow group leader, I will be. Until then, I don't really need to stand on a table and announce myself to the world or to the group. And at a certain point, they came to me and said, "Someone just backed out. It's time, Steve." And that was about 6 years ago. So it took a while for me to get into that position, because I didn't know if I could handle being in charge of people.
And
not
I think
in
it's,
charge, but, you know,
I think it surprised
them.
You how much you've enjoyed doing it.
Yes,
too.
Very much.
A lot of times it's the self-doubt of, I'm not going to be able to do this. And a lot of us in the community have a really exaggerated self-doubt beyond what the average person has, because we've run across the things where they told us, like, you throw a ball like a girl, which someplace else was an insult.
Right.
But things like that. And it's like, I've reached the point where I don't stop and think about it when somebody asks me if I'll do something like this. When Julie asked me if I'd work on the radio show, I didn't stop and think, geez, radio, I've never done that before. I just said, okay, and try it. And actually enjoy it. I'm meeting so many great people with so many great stories. I love this one. It's something I hadn't really thought about, you know, a need for it, or input. There really is. It's a great way for the people who who don't have a real support system.
Well, and it's
to find one.
Yeah, it's interesting, sort of where our and our campers come from all over the country. I think we generally average about people from we generally average about 30 to 35 states a year being represented at camp. We have campers who come from, we've had campers from Hawaii. We have a couple regular campers who come from Alaska. You know, we have some regulars from the UK who fly over. So, but I think, and I forgot where I was going.
And we've had some people who come from some very small towns that never had the opportunity to get out of those small towns.
Thank you. That's
who
where I
show up at camp and don't understand anything that we're doing or how people can be so open and how people can be so so gay, you know, or maybe have never met a lesbian or a lesbian never met a gay guy or played with them or had fun. So I think that's been what I found really amazing.
Yeah, well, and thank you. That's exactly where I was going. That, you know, that we get a lot of people from urban areas who have big gay communities around them and access to that. And we get, you know, probably the same number of people from smaller towns or places where there's not such a supportive gay community who camp becomes very important to them because they have what they, you know, they didn't have before. And we get people in all, not so much as we did the early years, you know, but we do have people in all sort of phases of coming out. Some people who are not yet out, who are, people have been out for years, you know, and
we've had people who've transitioned while coming to camp from one year to the next.
Yep. We have one guy who, you know, a trans guy who's been coming to camp for 10 years or more now, but, you know, he was there in his female persona, his former self when he first started coming. So we got to watch him transition and watch him blossom, and that's been awesome.
The thought occurs to me as a way to talk about this is 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And for some of the people from like the rural areas and all that don't have a place or the people who've just been afraid to come out and all, you could look at this camp as being your first week of living.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because it's your first week of living your true life.
Yeah, and I think that's true for a lot of people. And even, I mean, I came out a little late, especially compared to when kids are coming out nowadays. I was 28, but I had been living in big cities and whatever, but it was still and I sort of found camp 3 or 4 years after I came out. But it was I think it's an opportunity to sort of cement that and hopefully take what you learn there and that freedom and self-confidence that you gain there and take it back and sort of pass that along or incorporate that into your life out in the real world. And
one of our campers who newly came out, she was given camp as a gift from her son.
Oh.
Her son sent her to camp.
Mm-hmm.
And she's coming back again this coming year. And when I heard that, I thought that was really inspiring. Yeah. She said her son wanted her to go and sort of learn and enjoy gay companionship or commonalities.
Well, I've heard that that's one of the problems. I know for me coming out, in the town I was in was not a good place to be, so I didn't really come out there. I left. I came out in New Orleans. Now, that's a great place to come out. but for some people, the coming out, they come out to their family, and then sometimes their family is supportive and tries to force them to go make some gay friends,
right.
Which seems odd, but when you've spent so long hiding who you are, that's a major step.
Well, and like I said originally, that's sort of how camp was founded. You know, when Bill Cole found a camp, he was 49 years old and married, and his wife said, his wife has always been super supportive of him and said, you need to go find yourself. And this was part of how he did it. And I think, we now have a cabin named after him, and and he comes to visit when he can. But, it's sort of that spirit that infused the whole thing. So, like I said, whether you're just coming out, whether you're on the edge of coming out, to whether you've been out and open and proud for two, three decades, it's that's the great mix of camp. And
well, one of the things we've seen over the years, the difference between those of us who came out 25 years ago versus the youngsters who are coming out now. There's a big difference in how we came out and how we were comfortable in our own skins. And that's why it's so great to have sort of a span of 21 years old to 70 years old of people coming to camp, is you get to see sort of the generational difference in what being gay was, is, and will be.
Okay. We're going to take our quick, this is the long station break. You're listening to P-Flag New Orleans Expanding the Rainbow on WHIV-LP in New Orleans, 102.3 FM. WHIV is radio programming dedicated to human rights and social justice and all things New Orleans. Stream us live online at WHIVFM.org. End all wars. I'm supposed to remind you that people like you are what keep the radio station on the air. So go to WHIVFM.org. And you can make tax-deductible donations right online. Isn't that convenient? Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, the camp is in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like that. A lot of times people put summer camps in areas that they should be winter camps.
Right.
You know, because having grown up in, I grew up in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm in southeast Louisiana, and I know summers can get very oppressive down mm-hmm. here. It's not that way in Maine.
No, Maine is, you know, and I grew up in the Midwest and then, you know, was living in Chicago when I first went to camp. And, you know, the weather in southwestern Maine is gorgeous at the end of the summer. We're always generally the third week in August, so it is a good way to end your summer. And the weather up there is gorgeous. The temperatures can vary widely, which have been throughout the day, which has been surprising for some of our West Coast campers or people from the South, but it's gorgeous. And knock on wood, we've had very little rain over, and I can say this having been there for 20 summers, we've maybe had 5 days of bad rain, you know, so generally we've lucked out with just gorgeous weather and sunshine, and the temperatures tend to be in the mid-70s to lower 80s. We had one humid summer, otherwise there's, you know, no humidity. So for those of you down south here where it gets oppressively hot and humid, it's a great way to escape. And
you won't run into 95 there.
No.
We get down here often.
Oh, gosh, that'd be horrible.
No, you know, we tell people pack layers because, you know, it can be 75 or 80 during the day and can drop down into the 40s at night. So you're going to want those layers as the sun goes down and... Now, that sort of thing.
You mentioned that you're on three interconnecting lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Is it kind of a little hilly or mountainous region? Or
well, we're right in the foothills of the White Mountains there in Maine. But the camp itself is, you know, has some hills to it and is, you know, rugged terrain. But it's, you know, we do some off-site hiking trips where you can hike up into the White Mountains and that sort of thing. That's available for... You know, and we have that at various levels for more experienced hikers and beginning hikers. So, again, there's something, wherever your comfort level is, we can usually accommodate you trying something
and
new.
And the terrain
like
is very easy at camp. So we've had some campers who maybe aren't as mobile as the rest. So it's easy. One camper, I think this past year, she hurt her leg and her girlfriend wheeled her around in a cart to her cabin from the lodge. So for people who aren't necessarily... really mobile or may have some issues. I actually went to camp a week after my back surgery because I was tired of being laid up at home. And I went there and spent a week just sort of sitting around with a back brace on. Mm-hmm. So for people who aren't real active, you can also get around easily and we can make arrangements for people to get to cabins if necessary.
Yeah. And you know, you have to be 21 to attend camp because we do serve alcohol. So you do have to be 21, but our age range, any given year, is generally like 21 to 74, 75 or more. So, you know, our average age tends to be in the early to mid 40s, but, you know, I get people calling all the time who say, I'm 55, will I fit in? Will there be other people? Yes. No matter what your age is, you won't be the only one there your age. But
well, there's something about, to make it really feel like camp, being in the mountain air, because there's a difference, you know. It's not just being outside of the city. There's another difference on top of that. And
the taste of the water.
Yeah.
Really is like the clearest water I've ever drank.
And it comes out cold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to hunt for ice like you do down here. But it's it sounds like just a really great place to go. I kind of have visions in my mind of what the cabins look like and all.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this would be so cool.
Yeah, well, you know, our website is very packed full of information, you know, and you can find our website at www.campcamp.com. And there are pages there that have, you know, we have a video page, and we have links over to our YouTube page, and there's lots of videos there where you can see the camp and see the campers and some of the activities and, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. And those tend to be a big selling point for people, so I'd encourage people, if you're even curious, to go check, you know, check those out. You know, it is really a gorgeous place, and, you know, there's lots of big, tall pine trees around, so mm-hmm. pine sort of infuses the air. Mm-hmm. And like you said, it's different than being even just outside the city. You are sort of in a very rural area. Yeah. And, you know, we do provide, in addition to the registration fees, you do need to get yourself to Portland, Maine. Yes. And then we provide transportation from Portland up to camp. So if you don't drive or aren't in driving distance, yeah. You know, we will hook you up at any of the transport airport, bus, train station in Portland and get you out to camp and back. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, depending on where you grew up, depends on what driving distance is to Portland.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Grew up in Texas. Portland, Maine's driving distance, right?
We have campers who drive from New Orleans yeah. up to, mm-hmm. to Portland.
Yeah. Some of us are used to covering long distances between
exactly.
cities, and they'll say, okay, I'll make it up there. The thing about it is, you had talked about, early on, you mentioned the food. You have a mm-hmm. chef that prepares the mm-hmm. food. This is a New Orleans radio show, so you know, maybe we should talk about the food a little
All right.
bit, about what you do there.
Yeah, well, it's certainly not camp food, you know. It's not Frank's and beans and Jell-O and that sort of thing. We have a professional chef who comes in, brings a lot of his own crew with him, and, you know, they're the hardest working people at camp because they're feeding 250 people three meals a day for 8 days,
plus
days.
Snacks.
Plus snacks. But, yeah, it's three, you know, restaurant-quality meals. We do try to locally source stuff as much as we can, so there's lots of blueberries and lots of maple syrup and, you know.
Lobster.
Lobster.
A little bit.
Lobster, now and then.
Well, that's something you don't see at most camps.
This past year we had the last, so those of us in New Orleans know how to pop open a lobster and enjoy that. So mm-hmm. last year they had that for the first time in a while.
Right, and that was out of the comfort zone of some of our campers.
It sure was.
How to eat a lobster. So, you know, it's all part of the, you know, the all-inclusive price you get is all those, you know, delicious meals. And for a lot of people, that's nice to hear the bell ring and know it's time to go eat. You don't have to worry about cooking it or washing yeah. the dishes or cleaning up. Or
and you're not stuck with, well, you know, today's sandwich will be this, or we're having a treat today, it's hamburgers.
Right.
You know?
And you know, he's, you know, we have vegan meals available, vegetarian meals available, wow. gluten-free. And he can work with most any allergy issues or whatever that people mm-hmm. have. So, you know, you just tell us all that information on your registration form and, you know, we, you know, do our best to accommodate all that. So I don't think anyone ever goes away hungry or whatever, but we...
This isn't a diet camp.
It's not a diet camp. No. Oh, no. We have a pastry chef on staff as well. So there's
okay.
dessert.
An ice cream truck.
And an ice cream truck, sometimes.
Sometimes.
But, so...
Yeah, no, that's something that most camps might not think about.
Right.
But you do have a group of adults here rather than
Well, that's just it. And they're adults who are,
you know?
Yeah, adults who are on vacation and so want to enjoy themselves. And to me, I love to eat. So three restaurant quality meals a day right there, that's a big selling yeah. point right there. And
so when you go there, it won't be Pop-Tarts for breakfast and pizza for dinner.
No.
So, okay.
Though I would go there for Pop-Tarts and pizza, I would still go to this camp.
Well, there's some of us who would.
Yes.
We're not supposed to admit it.
Right.
Adults, you know? But you've got the really good food going on. You were talking about the different arts programs
mm-hmm.
that you have. Now, you mentioned pottery,
mm-hmm.
for one. What other, do you have...
The camp we lease is actually very well equipped in that, unlike some camps, it has separate studios for a lot of the arts and crafts activities. So there's an art barn where a lot of the oil painting and
yeah.
sort of general arts and crafts happens, but we have a pottery studio, which is an open-air pottery studio that overlooks the lake, so it's a nice place to sit there at the wheel and learn to throw a piece of pottery. We have a separate stained glass studio.
Tie-dye?
We have tie-dye classes. You know, the art class is very year-to-year, depending on the instructor we hire, but we've
yeah.
had everything from mosaics to oil painting to, block printing to... We had one art instructor one year who had people make little scary concrete animals by hollowing out stuffed animals and filling them with cement and then peeling the fur off. And
My favorite.
Stevie liked
that.
It
was awesome.
Cruel to the stuffed animals.
They're not alive.
And a lot of those got hidden around camp, and they still show up every once in a while.
Someone stole mine. He ran away.
So, yeah, there's, and we have, for those who are more athletically inclined. Oh, we have blacksmithing. This camp has a new blacksmithing studio, so that's something unusual. You don't find a lot of places, but you can come and learn how to work the forge and hammer out a wall hook or something like that. And and if you're more athletically inclined, there's softball and volleyball and basketball and soccer and
frisbee stuff.
Frisbee golf. And last year we finally, after 20 years, had a. Well, it started out as Capture the Flag, but it ended up being Capture the Wig, being as we're gay camp. So finally, that was a big hit. And the gal who ran our team sports program is coming back this summer. So that'll be back this summer. So, and that's the thing. It is structured like a summer camp for kids, but we are adults. So there are some more adult activities like figure drawing with live nude models. And that's stepping out of the comfort zone for some people is to volunteer to be the models for the class. And
the naked ones.
The naked ones. We have a Broadway dance class, which is very popular, where they stage an actual Broadway number for the talent show at the end of the week. It is based on the idea of a kids' camp, but it's definitely...
It's more advanced.
It's more advanced, exactly.
And for those who are active, we have a ropes course where you, climb up the spider web thing and you walk across the skinny line across the trees or something or other. Yeah. So that's for the more active people.
It's interesting, the sounds you get used to when you're there, because you hear all the sound that actually makes me think most of camp is the laughter echoing off all the buildings, because you hear it all day long. I mean, I love walking out of my cabin in the morning, and already at 7 a.m. you hear people laughing and whatever. But the other big one is the scream of the people going off the zip line at the end of the ropes course. You know, all day long you hear the whoosh and the people screaming, and so it's just interesting the sounds you get used to being there. Yeah.
That's a lot of different stuff available.
Mm-hmm.
I go very few places that have that much to offer.
I think it's, and like I said, you can make your own week. If we have people who come and spend all week in the stained glass studio doing a project, especially some of our returning campers who they plan their project out all year long. And our instructor has to say, you're not going to have time to finish that, so...
Some people save it from year to year and come back with what they started last year and do it this year. We also, this past year, had rocket making. So we had a rocket scientist who came in, and she's one of our campers, and we literally made rockets that we shot up 2 days during the week.
Yeah.
And then the dress barn.
Yeah, we have one of our traditional events is our tea dance on Thursday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And that has evolved into this big opening. It has evolved to opening with this big sort of costume parade. Where people dress up in drag, and sometimes it's the first time people dress in drag, and we have lesbians who've never had on a dress before who put on a dress, or we have, they go, and we have what we call our beauty barn, which has a stock of costumes and makeup, and some of the lesbians will put, use spirit gum and the fake hair to put on beards and mustaches, and a lot of the guys who never thought they'd get into a dress and parade down the red carpet before the tea dance, and then we...
I did look fabulous, I must say.
Even with shoes my size.
Well, they had shoes your size?
They do, and I wear a size 11 and a half.
Oh, very 12. Petite?
Yes. Dainty.
Mine are a little larger, but then I'm a petite 5'15", so... But we're getting up to our next station break in a couple of minutes, so... I'm going to give you a minute to get ready for your big pitch.
Big pitch, okay.
Because people are going to want to know more about how to get there, not roadmaps, but how you get signed up and where you can find more information about it and all. And so Carrie will have that in just a second. I'm going to do our quick station break, and you'll be back with that, okay? So this is... WHIV LP 102.3 FM New Orleans. Wow. Now, did that give you enough time to...
It did.
Okay.
I'm all ready.
Here we go.
So, as I said earlier, when you come to camp, it's one all-inclusive price. Gets you all your meals, all the lodging, the transportation to and from Portland. 99.9% of the activities. We do have a few that have a little surcharge on them based on materials or off-site trips or that sort of thing. But you can basically come and enjoy yourself for the week for the one price. So the price for camp is $16.75 for the week, and that's to be a fully paid camper. Now, we also have our staff program, which is sort of our version of a sliding scale. And with that, you come and you work for us during the week a certain number of hours, and then you can come for a reduced rate. And those rates range from $300 to $1,275 for the week, depending on the position and how many hours you'd like to work. And about half the people who come to camp every summer do so as part of our staff. So, you know, it's a great way to come on vacation for $300. And, you know, about 80% of those people come back year after year. So a lot of people say, well, I don't want to work on my vacation. But because it's in service to this great community of folks who are there, it doesn't really feel like work. I think a lot of people will say that. So, you know, so $300 to $1,675, pretty much something for every budget. A lot of the staff positions do go quickly. So, you know, if that's something that interests you or you need to help get you there, you should apply soon. But you can check that out and register right online at our website, which is www.campcamp.com. And there's a registration page there where you can register. There's an online registration form, takes you right to a payment form. You put a deposit. We also have a monthly payment plan, and that's for both the staff fees or the camper fees. So it makes it real easy on your budget. You put down a small deposit, and then we'll automatically charge the balance between now and camp.
Now, you said the camp is like the last week of August. When is it this year?
This year it will be August 20th through the 27th. Okay. If you're on our staff, you do arrive a day early for staff training. So, but otherwise, it's Sunday. For campers, it's Sunday through Sunday. So the August 20th through the 27th this summer.
Staff have to stay for cleanup the day after?
No, everybody leaves on the 27th for the most part. Yep.
Oh, cool.
So, yep.
So you just staff, they're going to pay part of your way, and you get an extra day.
Exactly. So, yeah. It's
look at
bonus.
It that way. It's not that you're working through your vacation, you tacked onto your vacation.
Exactly.
And a lot of the staff positions are probably things that people are going to enjoy doing anyway.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, some of them require specific skills because almost all of our program instructor, you know, our activity instructors are you know, come as part of our staff that way. So if you go to our website, there's a little page that says join our staff, and that will explain our staff program in more detail, what the different staff levels are, how many hours are required, what the, you know, reduced rates are, as well as a list of the available positions. And if you don't have a specific skill to teach one of our activities, we need everything from dishwashers to maintenance people to, you know, to whatever. So sort of the operation side is for people who don't have the necessary experience to lead an activity.
And then you'll have like the Rainbow group leaders, not for your first or second year.
Right.
But in your third year, you could do that.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And that's something that some of the people going in the first year may not think they'd ever be able to do, like Steve didn't.
Right, right. And it really is just a Rainbow group leading is just a way to sort of make everyone comfortable with what's going to be happening in the week and giving our campers a person that they know more closely that can lead them through the week if necessary.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of, you know, we generally get between 220, 250 people every summer, ages 21 and over. These are all questions people ask, so I'll cover it. We get about 80% singles, 20% couples, about 60% men, 40% women. And so, you know...
Our trans people are growing in number.
Yeah, our trans population is growing. So, everyone will feel welcome. And it's daunting to think about coming on vacation by yourself. But, you know, we've been doing this for 20 years, so we're very good about, you know, the first 24 hours you're there, we have things planned to make sure you fit in and meet people and feel at home. And
see, that's one of the things in the kids' camps. They have to have camp counselors rather than just the cabin monitor, you know, to make sure they stay in the cabin.
Right.
Give up on that with adults, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, but they have to have counselors specifically because you get those kids that are homesick.
Mm-hmm.
And basically when you've got an adult that's homesick, it's kind of like the other campers and the Rainbow group leaders that are really going to make them feel like they belong there instead of needing to bring in a trained professional. All they really want is to have somebody to talk to.
Right. And we do have a counselor on staff, you know, so she's there if, you know, we have some people who do get homesick. We also have two nurses on staff, so your safety is attended to, and, you know, they can make accommodations for, you know, any prescription medication you need stored and that sort of thing. So, you know, we have a risk management department, so there's an EMT on staff, so any, you know, people are concerned about safety issues, but we've been doing this a long time, so we've got all that down. We just would like to get the word out that we're out there. You know, having been involved with camp since the very first year, I keep thinking, well, everybody knows about us, but people don't. You know, and unfortunately, we were sort of getting to the point where, well, is there going to be a time when camp becomes irrelevant, where we don't need this sort of secluded, safe space for the LGBT community? Unfortunately, in our current political environment, it's feeling like it's very necessary again. Yeah. So,
that's one of the things about these kind of organizations, like PFLAG, is working very hard to try to put themselves out of business.
Right.
Because, you know, we would love to not be necessary.
Right.
But we are. So, this is the kind of wrap-up point.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go over again how you find the place, how you get in touch with them, everything about it, and if you want to throw in a quick testimonial again, Steve, that would be fine.
All right, well, just all the information you need is online at www.campcamp.com. The basic fee for camp is $1,675 for the week, but we do have our staff program where you can attend for as little as $300. All that information is on our website. If you have any questions, you can email us at info@campcamp.com. And myself or Betsy Orr or Brett Ottenberry, my two business partners and fellow directors, one of us will get back to you generally within 24 hours or less with your questions. We're also happy to chat on the phone. So our phone number is there on the contact page of our website. You can give us a call. We're also willing to hook you up. If you're not going to trust that the directors are giving you the honest spiel about camp, we have campers who are willing to chat with you and say, yeah, when, you know, our tagline for camp is remember when summer was the best time ever. It still is. Or the short version is the best time ever. But, you know, in our camper evaluations that we get back from our campers every year, they say, we at least once every summer here, I thought that was just a marketing ploy, but it really was the best vacation I ever had. And the other comment we hear a lot is, you know, we ask what surprised you most about camp or what keeps you coming back to camp? And the answer we get most often is the people. So in many ways, camp is not about the camp experience itself, but the people who are there. So it's just a great way to connect to a great group of LGBTQ people. So
I came to camp in 2000, and I think I've said many times before that was probably one of the smartest things I've ever done as an adult was to go to camp. I met some of my closest friends who I've counted on for many things over the years and vice versa. So it's definitely a place where you can come and be yourself and learn maybe who you're supposed to be. And that's one of the things that I've found at camp.
So the best thing to remind people about going to this camp, some people are going to be very comfortable with themselves already because you've got all the different levels. And they know that they can go and have a good time and do all these different projects. And the people who are really not sure how to be themselves yet, it seems like a great place to go find yourself out in the woods and have people that are going to be helping you and that you can be comfortable and relaxed around because they understand, they remember when they did that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's something that I think is just sort of indicative of the summer camp experience, which I didn't experience as a kid, so I didn't get. But it's nothing I think we work towards as far as, you know, we're not a retreat, we're not a workshop, we're a vacation. But There's something inherent in the summer camp experience that everyone is being their best self. Not to say that people don't
get bitchy.
It's gay camp, but people, you know, people are their best selves and are helping by virtue of that are just bringing out the best in everybody else. So
in the early days, I always laughed at hearing people say often. Lesbians would say, I never knew gay guys were so much fun. And then the guys would respond, I never knew lesbians were so much fun. Because it's a place where everybody gets together and plays together, dance together.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things I continue to be most proud of about camp, are there aren't many vacations out there that truly are for the LGBT community together. I mean, there are gay cruises and lesbian cruises, and you'll find some women on the gay cruises and vice versa. But, you know, we're pretty much half and half at Camp Camp, and I love the fact that it's men and women coming together, and you know, the women pick up a little bit of the gay vibe and vice versa, and you know, it's
sometimes we view it like as our community against the world,
right,
which we really can't afford to be. And then within the community, it's like, well, I'm this letter, so I don't want to have anything to do with those letters,
right? Yes.
And you get that from all different directions, and I always sit there and go, like, yes, but we do have that commonality of the coming out and risking losing everything.
Right.
And that's an awfully big bond.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I'm very happy to know that there's a place where all these different people can get together and just be.
Yes. You know? Yeah.
Because that's supposed to be our goal, isn't it?
Exactly.
All be together.
Exactly.
Well, we're coming up to the end of the show. I just wanted to thank you for being here. That was, I love the idea. It's just something that the time has come, and it came 21 years ago.
It did. It did. It was.
And now I'm hearing about it.
Exactly. It was. I always say Bill was a little bit ahead of his time. He was sort of a visionary in that regard. And there are lots of adult summer camps out there now, but. Yeah. We have to remember, as a lot of things, it started with the gay community, that Bill had this idea 21 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it, you know, I will admit it's not for everybody. And a lot of that has to do with the rustic living situation and everything for a week. It's, you know, there are some queens out there who have to have their mints on their pillows and their Four Seasons and their 400 thread count linen. Well, that's not camp, but if you can rough it for a week, I think people are surprised. Even if they only come once, we don't expect everybody to come back. But even if they only come once, I think people are...
I think your percentage return shows...
Yeah, and I always say that. I think our 80% return rate sort of speaks to the experience and how great it really is. So.
And it was wonderful to meet you. Now, we had to pre-record this show. This isn't going out live because Carrie was in New Orleans, but not on a broadcast day, so we've come to record it. So if you heard any background noises of traffic outside, you know, we weren't in the studio. But I was so happy to have Carrie in town to do this, and to have Steve kind of hosting.
So
we were so glad to have you both here.
Well, Sally, I appreciate you having us both on, and you know, I look for if anybody is interested, I look forward to speaking with them personally on the phone, or shoot us an email, or check out our website. And even if you can't make it this summer, bookmark us, sign up for our newsletter, and hopefully we'll see them.
And if you're thinking of trying to get on a staff position because you are good at maintenance and think, hey, I'd like to go to camp for $300, you better contact them pretty soon.
Yeah, check out our website.
Those positions go quick.
Yeah, they're going quickly, so check out our website soon and get your application in. And
all right. Thank you both so much for being here. Now, our sign-off, and this is the word from our sponsor. PFLAG New Orleans has monthly support meetings in the city of New Orleans. They're on the second Thursday of every month at 7:30 p.m. at Congregation Gates of Prayer, 4000 West Esplanade Avenue South, Metairie, Louisiana. And on the North Shore, on the third Thursday at 7 p.m. at North Shore Unitarian Universalist Church, located at 28662 Crentel Road, Lacombe. If you have more questions or just want to offer your support to PFLAG New Orleans, call 504-862-5912. Be sure to visit us online at pflagneworleans.org, that's PFLAGNO.org, or on Facebook, go to PFLAG New Orleans for reminders about meeting times, places, as well as information about other activities. Thank you for listening, and please tune in again next Thursday at 8 a.m. I'm Sally Michelle Jackson, and if he wasn't working while we were recording this, Josh, a.k.a. Adonis, would tell you until next time, laissez les bons temps rouler, let the good times roll. You've been listening to PFLAG New Orleans, Expanding the Rainbow on WHIV LP in New Orleans, 102.3 FM. WHIV is radio programming dedicated to human rights and social justice, as well as all things New Orleans. Stream us live online at WHIV FM. End all wars.